Can a person who claims to be a believer in Jesus Christ, who has become a new creation, a regenerate person, can that person live in a continuous state of willful disobedience to the Word of God and still be saved? I did the sinner's prayer, but I don't need to obey. I don't need to do anything, but I'm saved. You would probably say, nah, I don't think that will work. It's not because people are saved by works, but usually if someone claims to know God, at least would try to honor and show that he has learned something from God. And so you see someone who claims to be a Christian or a believer, and he's heard what the Word of God says, but refuses to do what the Word of God says time after time, you would say, no, I don't think he's a believer, even though he says he's a believer. Well, let me ask you another question. What about you? Have you ever refused to obey something that you found in the Bible? Like, oh, I'm not sure I want to do this one. Well, I have, I wouldn't say good news, but it's not good news. I have news for you. There are no perfect believers. And that's why it's not good. It would be nice that there were a few perfect believers there. It's like, oh yeah, at least I can trust in this person. But even the person that might be walking the closest to God still is not perfect. And that means that no person in this room lives a perfect life that never offends the Lord. And for certainly I am not. I offend a lot of times, sadly. Now, if there were the case that someone were, that we were all perfect, like if you became a Christian and suddenly you're perfect, there would be no need for us to be here this morning, because you would know what the Lord wants you to do. You would know the Word of God, and there is no reason to come here and learn about the Word of God and to gather together on Sundays and exhort one another to love and good works. Because we will all be doing that. We would all be showing love to everybody, and we would be doing good works and honoring God. We would not be need to be challenged to share the gospel, because we would be just sharing what we know about God naturally and without even studying it. But that's not the case. That's why we're here this morning, and we're encouraged by the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God to come and do not forsake the assembly of the brethren. We don't know the Word of God immediately after we are saved. We don't correct all of our sinful practices overnight. And we need to be instructed and exhorted to walk in the ways of the Lord. We need to continually grow in the knowledge of God's wisdom and in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, in our passage today in 1 Corinthians, and we've been studying the book of 1 Corinthians, and we're going to continue chapter 3 this morning. In our passage today, the Apostle Paul encourages the Corinthian believers to reflect on their behavior and he corrects their thinking. He has no doubt that they are regenerate individuals and that they are saved, and he expects them to comply with instructions that he's giving them in this letter. He does not expect them to willfully disobey God-given instructions, the wise God-given instructions he's writing them. And in fact, if he was expecting them to not obey, why bother writing a letter to them? Why do I write to the Corinthians if they are going to do whatever they want to do anyway? But he knew that as believers, they were going to be empowered and enabled by the Holy Spirit to hear the instructions that came directly from God and change their ways. So that's what he writes to them. That's what he took the time to write to them. So he knew that they were able to function as regenerate individuals. And if you are saved, if you are regenerate, and regenerate, what I mean by regenerate is you're a new creature. If you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and you are a new creature, a new creation, you have the ability to learn to think spiritually and to learn to act according to the instructions that we have in the Bible. So, if you haven't turned to your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 3, please do so. And we're going to be looking at the first 8 verses from chapter 3. And I'm going to read them to you from the New King James Version. They're somewhere here, verses 1 to 9. And please follow along in your copies of scriptures as I read. "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For one says, I am of Paul, and another one, I am of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers to whom you believed, and the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now, he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you that we can gather together this morning. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that teaches us, as you have instructed us, that where two or more are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst of them, Lord. And we know that you are here in the midst of us this morning, Lord. I thank you for the task you have given me to share your word and to feed your people with your word, Lord. I pray that you let it this time be fruitful and help us understand the way that you work in the world, that you want to change us not only spiritually but also behaviorally, Lord, and you have enabled us to do so, and you have revealed the secret wisdom of your secret wisdom, the secret wisdom of God and the Holy Spirit to us, Lord. I pray that you will help us to act according to the mind of Christ that has been given to us, and pray that you will help me to share these thoughts with my brothers and sisters this morning, and that you will bless each one of them with understanding. And I'm praying this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, in the book of 1 Corinthians, we have the Apostle Paul writing because even though they were believers, they had different things they were not doing right. They had different spiritual problems. They were not acting as Christians. They were failing to act and think as spiritual individuals. And the first problem that he is addressing in the first four chapters 1 to 4, is the problem of divisions in the church. They were dividing each other in groups based on the basis of human abilities or personalities or status. In some ways, it's like children in a schoolroom, and I'm from Mrs. this teacher, or I'm from Miss some and so classroom, and I'm from Mr. Smith's classroom, and they were having divisions among them. The thing is, they were saying, I'm of Apollos and I'm of Paul. And part of it is that they were looking at things from a worldly perspective. They were looking at, well, who is the more charismatic? Who is the one who speaks the best Greek? Or who is the one that has the power of God in his life more than everybody else? And I am of Peter. Yes, he has the power of God with himself. Or I am of Paul. I saw him doing all these miracles. And what the Apostle Paul is giving them different arguments, and now he's going to give them the argument of the way of thinking. The way of your thinking is not in a spiritual way. You're thinking like mere men. So he's encouraging them. Some of the arguments he's giving them is like, look at Christ. He's not divided, but you have divided him. Religious ceremonies, if whoever baptized you is not the one who enabled you to be saved, it is not a ceremony that saves you. It's not going into the water and that pastor so-and-so baptized me, but it is the power of the message of Christ. It's the message of Christ's death what saves. It is not the skill of the messenger. It's not because he speaks so well and he can make his sermon so smartly and cleverly that saves you. And even though the message of the cross, you mean just like listening to this message and believing and trusting on it, I'm saved? And it sounds foolish. How just believing in someone who was put to death as a criminal will save me? That sounds foolish, but it is the wisdom of God. And it is not the wisdom of the world that saved. You can study and become doctor so-and-so, and still you will not find salvation through your studies. It is the wisdom that God gives to his people. God does not operate according to human standards. What man likes to see as important, oh, he's so important. Look at the way he looks like King Saul. He was tall above all the Israelites, and he was, I guess, handsome or something. He was good looking, but that's not the way that God operates. The same thing when he chose David. Don't look at height or the musculature or anything, he told Samuel. And the one that was watching the sheep, the little blonde, curly-haired boy, he's the one that he chose to be king of Israel, who had a heart after God's own heart. So God does not operate according to human standards or values. So you might think, oh, Apollos is so well-spoken, but that's not what God sees. And everything you need has been provided to you in Jesus Christ. It's not through the messenger, but it's by believing the gospel. You need wisdom, that's found in Christ. You need righteousness to be right, put correctly before God, that has been provided to you. Do you need to be set apart to be part of God's people? That has been provided to you through Christ. Redemption, do you need to be bought so that you can belong to God's family and brought into God's family? You have been redeemed. You have been helped. You are complete. You are mature. That's why Paul says in chapter 2, we speak wisdom among the mature. There is nothing that they are lacking. And the word mature and complete is the same meaning. And you are already complete. All that has been provided to you in Christ. You don't need anything else. You don't need to say, I'm from Apollos. Look how ludicrous it sounds. Oh, I'm from Paul. You mean Christ gave you all that and you're saying, I'm from Paul? It's just ludicrous. And then look at the message, the way it came to you. It came accompanied not by the power of Paul or the power of Apollos. It was by the power of God. It wasn't the power of man that you saw at work. It was the Holy Spirit giving you understanding and letting you see this message that you're hearing is the message from God. And basically the message and salvation in Christ gives you access to the mind of Christ through the Holy Spirit. He says, just like the spirit of man knows everything about man, and even we don't know everything about ourselves, the Spirit of God knows everything about God, and that has been given to you. So if you are saved, you have the Spirit of God, and you have been given access to the knowledge of God himself. And we have the mind of Christ through the Holy Spirit. So what we have is two kinds of people in the world. We have the natural man, the psychikos man, the man according to, in contrast to the man that has given the spiritual man, or the man, a spiritual man, we like to think, and I don't like to use the word spiritual man because you think of a man that is praying, and sometimes you think about people who pray to Buddha and they sit, and then they sit there, they call them spiritual man. But that's not what the Bible calls a spiritual man. A spiritual man is the one who received the Holy Spirit and has been given spiritual understanding to be able to open the Word of God and see that it's the Word of God and say, and come to a relationship with Christ. In fact, the way that Paul describes the Corinthians is that they have been brought into fellowship with Christ. And then John says, we have been brought into fellowship with the Father and the Son. That's what a spiritual man is. He's not someone who sits praying and meditating all day. Then we like to think of that. That's the picture that's the wisdom of the world. The wisdom of the world teaches you. This is what a spiritual man looks like. the scripture says, no, the spiritual man receives the Holy Spirit and then he produces the fruit of the Spirit instead of the fruit of the flesh. The natural man is of this world. He goes in life according to the values of this world. I need a good job. I need to climb the corporate ladder. I need to be in charge. I need to, whatever you want to put there. That's the natural man. He just goes by the values of this world. He has worldly wisdom. His wisdom comes from, I want people to see me this way. I need to have this kind of car, and I need to have this kind of clothes, and I need to wear this kind of shoes, and you put it there. That's the worldly wisdom. He operates according to the values of this world. The spiritual mind, the spiritual man, or that's why I don't want to call it spiritual man. The man who received the Spirit, he has the mind of Christ because he got the Spirit of God. He's part of the mature. He's complete in Christ. He reflects on all things. He judges all things. He judges things according to spiritual principles. Like even the decisions that he makes, he has the mind of Christ to say, is this really valuable? Is this really worth my time and my effort and my money? And he judges according to spiritual principles rather than the values of this world. And the natural man looks at the spiritual man and says, that's foolish. Because according to the human worldly wisdom, spiritual things sound foolish to the unspiritual man or to the natural man. And we were all natural men at one time. And by the grace of God, he revealed himself through his Spirit. This is not something that you can run and go across the ocean or go up to heaven and say, save me. It is the message that comes to you, and then God opens your mind, and then you're saved, and then you understand things. And that's what we need to be proclaiming, the message. But it's not something that you did. It's like, please preach to me the message so that I can be saved. Is you go, and then people that actually care about you share the message of God with you. So the message today is only 2 points. Function as a regenerate person. Function like someone who is saved. Function like a believer. And I put function because it involves thinking and acting. I could put think and act as a regenerate person, but function, I think, puts them both together. So you need to function in your life as a regenerate person. So the problem, before we go to the points, is what happens. I mean, this is really cool, isn't it? It's really great to be a man who received, or a woman, an individual who received the Spirit and the Spirit of God. But what happens when the spiritual man acts like a natural man? That's what the Apostle Paul is dealing here. Because he has no doubt that the Corinthians are believers, yet they are acting like the natural man, like if they never heard the word of God. So, what should be done? Well, they should be instructed. That's the first thing. So, they need to learn to function as regenerate people. And the first thing is, he wants them to reflect on their behavior. So, there, verses 1 to 4. So in verse 1, Paul writes, and I, brethren, notice the word brethren there, stop there. Again, this is like 5th, 6th, I haven't even counted. I guess I didn't take the time to count how many times he called them brethren. And he was completely sure that these people were believers. He saw the work of God on them when he came, when he preached the message. He saw the power of the Holy Spirit in his preaching, in his miracles, but also in the listeners. Their ears were open, and they were understanding, and they came and they left their idols and they moved to the living God. He understood that God had called them into fellowship with Christ, and he was sure that they were going to be presented blameless. And this is great because that's for every believer. Just like I just mentioned this morning, even in this room, there is not a perfect believer. In the day of Christ, we will all be presented blameless. Every person who believed will be presented blameless. because it's the righteousness of Christ that it is. That's why Christ is the righteousness. And that's the great promise that we have. So he was sure that they were believers. So he said, and I, brethren, but then here comes the bad part. I wasn't able to speak to you to spiritual, as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able. You can't. And part of it was their own fault. And that's what he's addressing it. That's what he's writing to them. He knew that the natural man cannot understand the things of the spiritual, of the Spirit of God. But here, these people have been given the mind of Christ, and still, in some ways, they are not able to do it because they have not responded to the Word of God the way He wanted to respond. So we're here introduced with a word called carnal. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men or spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. The word carnal is not a word we use all the time. I think you only hear it in church. I can't think of any other time that I've been feeling too carnal today. the English more common word for this is flesh. Flesh comes from the Anglo word that we use more commonly, and even maybe meat would be the other one. When I guess, and I don't know much of these, but we don't like to call flesh, like in Spanish, this is flesh, and you eat. Well, this is carne, and you eat carne. So when you eat pork, that's carne, and that's where we get the carnal. Carnal is the Latin word for flesh. And yes, when we're eating pork, we're eating the flesh of the pork. And where we're eating chicken, we're eating the flesh of the chicken. But the good and bad thing is that it's nice that we're thinking we're eating chicken and pork, and we don't think of the flesh. That's the good thing. The bad thing is that it has divided our thoughts. So we don't think, when we look in the Bible, that the word flesh or the word carnal, we separate it from. But I mean, even Paul talks about the flesh of fish is different from the flesh of birds, and so here the word carnal is the word flesh or fleshly or fleshy. In fact, there are two different words in one of the manuscripts. The majority text has just the word fleshly, sarkikos, instead of sarkinos and sarkikos. And what he's saying, I think, is he's just, like he explained, that the natural man is psukikos, a man of the soul. And what he means is just, he has not been given the Spirit. So what he's saying here, you're a spiritual man, but you're acting like mere men. And especially in verse 3 and 4, that's where he equates it. Let me read verses 3 and 4 again. I'll read them from here faster. For you are still carnal or fleshly. For where there is envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not fleshly and behave like men, anthropos? So here, and he's just trying to convey spiritual terms with human words. So he said, there are two people in the world, and you are acting like men who are just flesh, who do not have the Spirit of God and do not understand any spiritual things. So, and when you think about carnal, that's what he's referring. And as a Spanish speaker, sometimes I just assume that you all know that, because in Spanish we use carne for everything, and it says carnal. And then it's like, it just makes sense. But I was thinking about it. Yes, it's fleshly, carnal, and I put them together there. The same word. So, I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to fleshly people, characterized by the flesh, material, physical, worldly, human. There are different ideas. But then he explains that Because when we are saved, or recently saved, just like a baby doesn't know everything that he's supposed to know, he doesn't know how to speak, he doesn't know how to hold a fork or a spoon, and he doesn't know how to respond back because he can't speak, he can't read. And there are so many things that the baby has to develop. Spiritually, we have the same thing. Someone who has been saved, like the Corinthians, in this case, we're talking about people who have been saved. Well, some of them, Paul was with them for a year and a half. So they've been believers for what, a year and a half, 2 years? Paul has left, and then he heard about these problems. So they have been believers for a while, but they were still living by the worldly, by the values of this world. They were looking at things just like mere men, according to the flesh, like if they were just men from this world. And he says, you have not grown. You're babies in Christ. You're still babes in Christ. You have not developed, and because you're still babes, even if I try to explain to you, baby, this is how you use the computer. First you type your password. See, take your finger and push the right letter. So I can't do it. And then you read what it says in the screen, and then you click here is on the web browser, and then you click there, and that's how you use. You can't. And the same thing, that's the way that the Apostle Paul is trying to explain to the Corinthians. You guys, you're believers, but you're still not able to handle a lot of spiritual challenges that come to a believer that is growing, because you're acting like people who do not have the Holy Spirit, even though you have it. Paul was sure about it. And I fed you milk and not solid food, because until now you're not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able. And the word I fed you is I gave you to drink milk and not solid food. And of course we don't drink solid food because English is too specific. And that's why they put fed. But usually when you think about milk, you think about the basic things of the world. Well, let me just go explain this verse. We're going to go back to this verse later, but this is in verse chapter 12, what the spiritual person is. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the believer has received the spirit who is from God. Why? That we may know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So in some ways, what we're learning here this morning, what my job is, my task that has been assigned, is to show you what the Holy Spirit is teaching here, which is the free things that have been given to us by God. Salvation, sanctification, justification, redemption, and the mind of Christ, and wisdom, and all these things. So that's what the spiritual man is. And the basic things of the word, what would be milk, is the way the first things that were presented to you. When this gospel is presented to you, they tell you you're a sinner. Everybody's a sinner, including you. And as a sinner, you deserve to be punished. The book of Hebrews calls it eternal judgment. There is eternal judgment for those who are not in fellowship with God. There is the wages of sin is death. But then there is salvation in Jesus Christ. And you need, in part of it, repentance from dead works, is changing your mind from thinking in worldly values and changing your worldview to a spiritual worldview given to you by the Holy Spirit. So, but if you believe in Jesus Christ, you are forgiven and you're brought into a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the basic things of the gospel. That's what a person needs to know to be saved. So the apostle, I don't know who wrote Hebrews, but whoever wrote Hebrews writes, we need to leave the basic things, the milk, the elementary principles of Christ, the basic things, the things that you learn in kindergarten. These are scissors, this is a crayon, this is paper, this is how you color, and this is how you cut straight, I haven't learned that one yet. But just leave the basic things of Christ and let us go on to completeness, perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance of dead works. Now, when you look at this list, there are some things that even very mature believers don't know much. They're not quite sure about things like you repent from dead works, faith towards God. Yes, you believe in Christ and you're saved. But then the doctrine of baptisms, the laying of hands, we're not quite familiar with that. We don't have enough information in the scriptures. But the resurrection of the dead, now that one was a basic thing. Yes, there is a resurrection. In fact, Paul is going to write a whole chapter with 58 verses and in this letter. And eternal judgment. So those are one of the basic things according to the writer of the book of Hebrews. But he said, this will do. We will still teach it if God permits. And the problem that actually that the Hebrews had, if you go on the recipients, was kind of the opposite. He's trying to teach them about Melchizedek. Now, Melchizedek is not one of the basic things of the faith. That's why. And he's trying to teach them that, and it's hard to explain. Again, it's like teaching a baby to use a computer. Because you have become dull of hearing. And dull of hearing is, I try to define it here as not responsive to the teachings that you're receiving. If you hear and you respond, you grow. You see food, you eat it, you grow. If you see food and don't eat it, and eat it, I mean by not just smelling it, but tasting it and then being nurtured by it, by putting it into practice, then you don't grow. So you need to be able to take the Word of God and grow by the Word of God. So I have a lot of things to say about Melchizedek, and it's hard to explain because you have become dull of hearing. Again, you are not being responsive to the Word of God, to the teachings of the Word of God. By this time, you've heard so much teaching, you should be teachers, but instead, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the Word, A, B, C, 1, 2, 3. The principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. And everyone who partakes of milk, only milk, is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. Solid food belongs to those who are full of age, to the grown-ups, to the mature, that is, to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. I should have underlined use. Because it is when you put into use the Word of God that you mature. You get your senses exercised in the discerning of both good and evil. The thing the spiritual man judges of things, he's able to discern between good and evil. So, the Corinthian believers were not discerning the evil they were causing by saying, I am from Apollos, I am from Paul, I am from Peter. And they were causing divisions in the church. Paul is actually going to go even stronger in the rest of the chapter. We will not look at that. We'll look at that one next week. But the main reason why Paul was able to tell that they were babes in Christ and they were not, and that they were spiritually mature is because of their behavior. Paul didn't go and give them a test. Okay, here is your 1 Corinthians test. Answer these questions. And everybody got the wrong answers. Oh, you are babes in Christ. No, the reason is because of the way they were behaving. Fighting in church is like, oh, I don't listen to what Paul says. I listen to what Apollo says. Oh, I don't listen to what Apollo says. I listen to what Peter says. It was their behavior that Paul was able to notice. You guys are behaving like natural men. You're displaying and the works of the flesh. For you're still fleshly, and there is the word carnal there, but that's the word we don't use much. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not fleshly and behaving like men? For when one says, I am from Paul, and I'm another one from Apollos, are you not carnal? And there are three things he mentions there. But there are many things that are the works of the flesh. In fact, there are several lists that Paul lists gives in his letters. One is to the Romans, one to Colossians, another to Ephesians. And let me take you to the one in Galatians. How do you know if someone is acting fleshly or carnal? And we all do, because we are all in the flesh. We all started as natural men. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness. So these are just sexual sins. Lewdness, idolatry, sexual behavior. Then here we have your affections, idolatry, sorcery, hatred. And then these three words here are the three words that he lists to the Corinthians, where there are the word there, divisions. Now the first one he says, strife. That's the contentious. The word envy is translated here as jealousy. And where people are fighting, outbursts of wrath with anger, selfish ambitions. And then the word dissensions or divisions, that's the same word they use here. And here they use divisions, I think. Yeah. Here's something that's dissension. Heresies. This envy is a different word. Murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, for which I tell you beforehand, as I told you in the past, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So if you are behaving like a mere man and you're practicing these things, and you are not willing to change, you're carnal. And in some areas of our life, we have to change, because we all start as babes in Christ. No one started as an adult in Christ. So, is Paul saying that there are three kinds of people? There is the regenerate people, the saved ones, the not saved ones, and then there are the carnal Christians, the carnal believers, where self is in the throne and Christ is just Sundays, Sunday mornings. I don't think so. I think what he's saying there are two kinds of people, and we all have to grow. And at one time, so when we act based on the values of this world, yes, we're acting according to the flesh. We're acting like mere men. But it is expected for a true believer to grow and to respond to the teaching and admonition of the word. It is expected if you're coming and you're listening to the word of God that you will change things in your life and you will remove things that will take you away and will taint your relationship with Jesus Christ and with the Father. If you were going to remain in a state of babyhood, why bother writing a letter? If he was expecting them to be, oh, they're just carnal Christians, we just need to let them be, why bother writing to them a letter? If there was such a continual category of carnal Christian, if someone claims to be a carnal Christian, oh, I am a carnal Christian, I'm a believer, and I don't obey the word of God, I would seriously wonder if that person is a believer or not. Either you are a believer or not. And if you're a believer, you might make some carnal decisions, if you want to put it like that, or decisions like, or you might make still some decisions like an unregenerate person, but when you are taught where God expects you to respond to his teaching, he has given you the spirit and the ability to respond. And just as I mentioned, Paul felt that the believers were unable to handle some teachings of the word of God because of the lack of spiritual maturity. Peter is going to encourage believers to not remain carnal. Lay aside the carnal behavior, the fleshly behavior. Malice, trying to do bad things to people. Deceit, trying to get advantage by not telling the truth. Hypocrisy, pretending to be something you are not. Envy, and that's the same envy word. Now, this is not jealousy, but this is envy, where you have an ill will towards someone because they have something you don't have. The other one is just resentment. Jealousy is more resentment towards someone because they have something you don't have. But envy here is an ill will where you are actually thinking of evil things to do to them. So that's the malice part, that envy. And all evil speaking. But as newborn babes, the Apostle Peter writes, desire the pure milk of the Word of God. And again, what helps babies to grow, spiritual babies, is the Word of God. And indeed, if you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, so if you're saved, yes, desire that, and you should want to come to church just because you're going to learn the Word of God, because you're going to hear the Word of God. And that's the encouragement. So if you are to function as a regenerate person, you need to study the Scriptures. You need to judge according to the spiritual teachings we have received in the Bible. And studying the Scripture is not profitable if your behavior doesn't change. Again, it's like smelling food without taking a bite. It's like going to a party where there is really, really good food, and you see it, but you can't tell it's good food until you actually taste it. Even if you smell it, did you see the food? Oh, yes, I did. Did you eat anything? No, not really. Well, how do you know it was good food? Well, the same thing with the Word of God. Did you read the Bible? Oh, yes, it's great. Did you change anything in your life because you read the Bible? No, not really. I'm fine. I'm fine the way I am. Well, it's no help to you. How are we doing with time? Should we leave this for next week? We have a second point. We probably should leave it for... Yeah, we can include it next week. So, what we're going to do, there are two kinds of people in the world, the natural man and those who have received the Spirit of God. And without instruction, the spiritual man will act as a natural man, as a babe in Christ. But it wasn't God's intention for you to stay as a babe in Christ. Think about, we like to have babies in the family, and oh, what a cute baby, and we like to see them. But then if after 4 years the person is still acting as a baby and can't get dressed on his own or her own and can't feed on his own or her own, he's not cute anymore. And that's what is happening with these believers. You believers have been spending 2 years in the Word of God and you're still babes in Christ, and the book of Hebrews, I can't talk to you about Melchizedek. You don't even know who Melchizedek is. His name means King of Zedek, which is righteousness. And that's what he explains later, but we'll leave that for Hebrews. But the main point here is you need to grow. Well, how did you grow? What's the food? What's the milk? It's the Word of God. You need to spend time in the Word of God. And once you spend time in the Word of God, you need to be nurtured by it by putting it into practice. So that's the first part of function is, as a regenerate person, is to reflect on your behavior. And that's from the second point. Here it is. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed in the renewing of your mind by the word that you might prove, and the way that you prove or taste what is good and acceptable is when you put it into practice. Let me skip this to the... can go. And then, it's right there, the verse. I can't move down. But again, we have been given the Spirit so that we may know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Won't go there. Lord, thank you for your word, and I pray that you will touch our hearts. Help us to understand how important it is to know your word while we have it, Lord. Help us to put it into practice that we might grow and that we might become even more pleasing to you until we're finally presented to you in blameless and completing in Christ, Lord. We thank you for all the things that you have provided for us in Christ, Lord, and I pray that you will renew our minds, that change our way of thinking, that we may be able to understand what is your will, what is good, what is, and to use our senses in the discernment of good and evil, Lord. And I pray that you will help us to apply it to each one of us in our minds, Lord, that we might be able to teach them to others as well, Lord. And thank you for your word this morning. We're praying this in Jesus' name. Amen.